Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black, a double launch on one day. And finally, we have what we've been longing for, competition in commercial space to low Earth orbit, to the Earth-Moon system and beyond. Bob, a very good evening to you. Blue Origin launches New Glenn and SpaceX launches number 7, Starship Super Heavy. We'll begin with Blue Origin because that is new. Blue Origin, I'm told, reached orbit, and that's the success. What else did you see that surprised you, Bob? Because so much of it you anticipated over a long period of time. Good evening.
There were no actual surprises, John. Blue Origin had been priming for this launch for almost a decade. The rocket was first proposed in 2016. It was being developed relatively aggressively for about a year, and then Jeff Bezos hired a CEO who for 5 years basically shut his company down. Blue Origin accomplished nothing from about 2017 to about 2023. And then in 23, and at the end of the year, he finally, that guy resigned, maybe was removed, and they replaced him with a new guy, David Limp, who since that date, there's been real activity at Blue Origin, real movement. And they finally got New Glenn assembled and stacked and tested. And so this week they completed its first launch. Hallelujah. And it's, you know, better late than never. After 5 years behind schedule, it is now up a proven rocket. It's only one launch. They have to do, of course, many more to become really reliable and cost effective. You know, the cost will go down the more they launch. But they've at least gotten off the track, off the ground, and that's the really good thing. The mission had two main goals: getting into orbit. It had on board a demo version of the company's Blue Ring orbital tug. Now, the tug did not deploy. They were doing mostly communications and power tests with the demo piece. And so they left it docked to the upper stage for 6 hours while operational in orbit. But they did successfully get that into orbit. The second half of this mission was not so successful, but also not really a failure. New Glenn is designed to be reusable like Falcon 9. The first stage is supposed to land on a barge and then be able to board back in and be reused. And this was its very first launch. And not surprisingly, they were not successful in getting that first stage to land safely. It was coming back down, apparently under control, but when it fired its engines the first time for return, something went wrong and we lost telemetry. And they probably destroyed it so that it would not hit the barge ship. They don't want that to happen. They want to lose the barge. And so they did not get that success, but, you know, SpaceX took eight landings before they successfully landed Falcon 9's first stage on a barge or on the ground. And so this is not a disaster by any means. They're going to take some time to do it. What they need to do now is get their launch rate up. They have a 27 launch contract with Amazon to put its Kuiper Constellation satellite up. They're not the only one that has contracts with Kuiper, but it's a major contract. And the Space Force really wants to get this rocket certified to use it for military launches. And to do that, they have to launch twice. And so this is only halfway there. The next launch is tentatively scheduled for June. I hope they do it sooner than that. NASA, too, wants to use this rocket. The rocket is really powerful. It's equivalent to the Falcon Heavy. But it has an advantage over the Falcon Heavy in that it's cargo bay, its shroud, its fairings are larger, so it can take bigger objects into space. And that's really an advantage. And so this is a very useful rocket. And yes, you're right. We now have competition. SpaceX is great, but now we have somebody else who could maybe do things, different things better. And that is really wonderful, John.
The test, I understand, was to get into orbit. Good. However, the recovery was not good. And does that mean that they need to test some more before they get both sides? Because that's all about lowering costs, reusability. You can't lose your...
This is like SpaceX. They just simply need... It's going to take... They'll look at what went wrong, and they'll figure out what they need to fix, and they'll fix it. Remember, SpaceX, when it first was trying to land, did not have its grid fins on the Falcon 9. Didn't work, so they added the grid fins, and then they had to do some other refinements, and eventually they figured out what was wrong, and they got it to land. Blue Origin is in the same boat. Landing a first stage is on a barge in the Atlantic is not trivial, and it's not that it can't be done. They know it can be done. They just simply have to work out the details. SpaceX is not going to release proprietary information that allows them to do it. So Blue Origin's got to figure it out for itself, and they will over a period of time.
Now, Bob, about the next step, always you emphasize this long wait for Blue Origin. Do they have the manufacturing capability to generate boosters and engines and fairings fast enough to maintain the pace that you're talking about is required?
I don't know. I think that the next launch in June is much too far away. I think that they should be launching... They should be able to launch 2 or 3 months. They have stages in their factory. They show them off. So they should be able to launch much sooner than that. And it's not good that their launch rate continues to be slow. That's could be a function of their manufacturing limitations. It could just simply be the culture of this company is still struggling to come out of the doldrums it was in. I think David Limp has done a marvelous job of breaking that out of that doldrums, but it might take a little time for them to push harder than they've been.
Does SpaceX qualify as superior to Blue Origin still, or are they now in the same boat? They can both go to orbit, and they both have reusables.
You got to take it from the satellite customer's perspective. Right now, SpaceX is in the lead. If I had a satellite, an interplanetary probe, anything that I wanted to launch, I would look at Blue Origin. But if I needed to launch within the next year, I'd almost certainly be end up with SpaceX because they have the capability and they can do it. Blue Origin is not yet ready to start launching customers. But, you know, once again, that's only just a matter of time.
Starship launching from Boca Chica, the first stage spectacularly caught by the chopsticks. Once again, every time that happens, it's amazing to me. But they lost Starship. Do we know why?
All right, so the SpaceX announced some specific details about what happened. So let me review the mission. The mission was the seventh flight of Starship Super Heavy. They were going to do a whole bunch of tests of Starship in its coast phase, and then it's attempted to soft splash down vertically in the Indian Ocean. During the launch, Super Heavy functioned perfectly, pretty much, almost ideally. There were some issues of some engines not firing when they should have, but the point is the rocket did its job getting Starship on its way to orbit. It then repositioned itself, came back to the launch tower, and was caught for the second time out of three attempts. This is pretty astonishing. I mean, really, this is such a radical idea, and that they managed to do it now two times out of three attempts is it boggles the mind. So in terms of Super Heavy, I note this on my website. As far as I can tell, Super Heavy right now appears largely ready to go. They have worked out the major kinks. This is an operational booster that can do its job and be returned for reuse. Now, of course, there's lots to do. SpaceX was reusing one engine on Super Heavy. There was one engine that conked out during the boost back phase. Was that the reused engine? I don't know. They aren't yet ready to start reusing it, so it's obviously not totally operational, but they are really close to having this thing ready to go as an operational booster. Now, Starship, after it was released by Super Heavy, it turned its engines on. It started to do its burn to get up into its proper orbit. Along the way, there were problems. Engines started to cut out. And then just shortly before it was going to cut out its engines to enter orbit, they lost telemetry. According to SpaceX, a tweet from SpaceX, there appeared to be a oxygen fuel link in the cavity above the ship engine firewall that created pressure in excess of the vent capacity to get the oxygen out, fuel out. And so, that led to explosions and damage and things not working properly. Let me quote Musk, though. Apart from obviously double-checking for leaks, we will add fire suppression to that volume where this occurred and probably increase vent area so the venting can happen more easily. Nothing so far suggests pushing the next launch past next month. And we're now in the Trump administration, and Elon Musk has entire confidence that the FAA is not going to force him into a 3-4 month delay while they, quote, investigate. Trump is not going to let that happen. And so if he's prepared to launch in a month, they're going to launch in a month. They're not going to wait for the FAA to retype the SpaceX investigation. And so that's the situation with Starship. They lost the craft. They didn't do most of the tests they wanted to. But they then discovered something else that needs to be refined in the engine setup. So that's what they're going to do. And so that moves forward to the next test flight.
The next test and the next test. The idea is to catch not only Super Heavy, but also Starship on the return. Is that correct?
That is correct. They were going to do some testing of attachments on Starship that would be used to catch it. But then they wanted to test how those would survive the return from orbit, you know, the high temperatures as you come through the atmosphere. They were not able to test that this time, so we'll do it next time.
And what is the ambition, Bob, to have a big cargo bay so they can put up more Starlink? Or is there another mission that they have that's waiting for them?
Name anything you can imagine, and that's what they hope to sell. They want to obviously put many Starlink satellites up. One of the things they couldn't do is they were going to test the deployment system of Starlink. They couldn't do it this time. They'll do it next time. So this is, yes, to be able to launch very large, much larger, more sophisticated Starlink satellites at larger numbers. That's one reason. But, you know, they're building Starship for purposes of land as a lunar lander for NASA. They want, Elon Musk wants to send Starships on the way to Mars. He wants to do it in 26. The next orbital window opportunity, he wants to fly one out there. They have contracts with several people who want to fly manned missions, commercial manned missions, using Starship around the moon. So there's an endless potential here, and so it's just got to get the thing operational. The potential is quite limitless, and that's the bottom line.
Rocket Factory Augsburg and Saxavord. What is Saxavord?
All right. Saxavord is one of the two proposed spaceports in the North Scotland of the United Kingdom. Saxavord specifically is on the Shetland Islands. It seems to be in the lead right now for getting the first launch. Rocket Factory Augsburg is a German rocket startup. It attempted a static fire test of its rocket last August in preparation for its first orbital test flight from Saxavord. Unfortunately, during that static fire test, something went wrong with the rocket, and they lost the rocket. It basically exploded. They didn't damage their launch site, fortunately, but they did lose the rocket. So they've got to rebuild the rocket. They lost the first stage of the rocket, I should say, not the upper stage. So they had to rebuild a first stage. They're in the process of doing that. They've also been in the process for endless years trying to get their launch license from Saxaford. And this week, the United Kingdom Civil Aviation Authority graciously announced that they have finally issued a conditional launch license for Rocket Factory Augsburg to finally do its launch. The launch has strings attached. They have to give them a 60 days notice before they do an offshore launch. There are other conditions they have to do, making insurance arrangements and international agreements. It's unclear what those are. But Rocket Factory Augsburg, when it's got its rocket ready and does its static fire tests, and if that all goes well, it appears that they will be able to launch from Saxaford. I'm from Missouri at this point, based on the track record of the CAA in the UK. They have done everything they can to destroy rocket companies and spaceports with regulatory red tape. And just because they've announced they've given a launch license doesn't mean anything if they've also attached conditions to it that they could easily use to shut things down.
Stoke Space, can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yes, very quickly. Stoke Space is a rocket startup that's trying to build a completely reusable rocket, just like Starship Super Heavy, much smaller, however. They have a radical design for their upper stage. They obviously are getting real confidence from the investor community because they just raised another $260 million. That more than doubles the private capital they had previously raised. They now have almost $500 million in their pocket for developing this rocket. And they've done tests of the first stage and the upper stage. They're getting close. We can hope that maybe this year they will launch from Cape Canaveral.
Bob Zimmerman.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.